Even though the world has become a living nightmare, even though there is no sign anywhere that peace will ever come, even though human greed and destructiveness are running rampant across our world, hear this. The promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity.
That's the Reverend Dr. Steve Montgomery. I'm Peter Wallace. Join us for some conversation and a message of faith today on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. We're delighted to have back with us today the Reverend Dr. Stephen R. Montgomery, pastor of Idlewild Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Steve is a graduate of the College of Worcester in Worcester, Ohio. He earned his Master of Divinity degree from Yale Divinity School and a Doctor of Ministry degree from Columbia Theological Seminary. Steve, thanks for being with us again.
It's great to be back, Peter.
Last week, you introduced us to Idlewild Presbyterian Church, where you've served for more than 10 years. Reaching out to the community in which you worship is an important aspect of your church's life. What are some specific ways you do that?
A little over 10 years ago, we found that the homeless were moving from downtown to our midtown neighborhoods. And we wanted to do something more than just a soup kitchen. We wanted this to be a part of the Eucharistic feast, so that when we sat down and not just served the poor and the homeless, we would sit with them and perhaps take part in that vision in which two strangers were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they took the bread and they broke it, and they noticed that the stranger in their midst was Christ himself. And when we sit around the table and get to know their names and their stories, we've found that at times we perhaps should take off our shoes because This is holy ground. And so for the last 10 years, we have fed and served and gotten to know about 125 homeless and working poor folks every Thursday evening. It's called More Than a Meal because we want it to be more than just a meal.
Idlewild is a very welcoming congregation. When people are looking for a church home to become part of, how can we in our churches help them find themselves at home? What are they looking for and how can we help them find it?
You know, it's interesting, Peter, that most studies show that when newcomers come into a church for the first time, they will know within 5 minutes whether or not they are coming back. That's before they hear the music, before they hear the sermon. We need to develop welcoming congregations. And I think most congregations say we want to be welcoming, but it can be risky to go up to someone and get to know them and welcome them to the church. So it begins with a sense of hospitality, an authentic hospitality, where when people come in, they sense a vitality and a joy to be there.
Last week, as we began this season of Advent, you gave us a glimpse from Isaiah chapter 2 of God's vision of peace, which truly begins now. And today we move to Isaiah chapter 11. Would you read the text for us?
I'll be glad to. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
This is such a moving and hopeful text, but who is Isaiah talking about here?
There's a lot of theological controversy over whether this was talking about a new David or Jesus himself. I think for us, it's important to realize that he was talking about God, the kind of world that God envisions, and that God is continuing to work out God's purposes ever so slowly and sometimes imperceptibly to us.
Steve, we look forward to hearing your sermon today. It's entitled, Not Much, But Enough for Me. Thanks for being with us.
It's been wonderful being here, Peter.
And if you'd like a free transcript of Steve Montgomery's sermon today, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1 or visit our website at dayone.org.
One would think that the older I get, the more sermons and Bible studies I have under my belt, that the more routine, the more been there, done that response I might have to reading some of the same old texts year in and year out. But I have found that the opposite has happened as I have gotten older. There are certain Bible texts that I can hardly read without weeping. This passage from Isaiah 11 is one of them. One would think that every Advent I would read it and realize that we're still far away from the kind of vision Isaiah is pointing to, so they're just words. But my lachrymose response is getting worse, it seems, and not better. And I think I know why. The longer I live, the longer I am in ministry, the more deeply this particular promise of God touches me. And I think it is because I see in so many lives, and in my own life, how overwhelming is the longing for this vision, this sense of shalom. Life is tough. And even though many of us live what might be called privileged lives, we still have to go through tough patches. Those times when we are sure our lives as we know them are over for all intents and purposes. Sometimes there are terrible blows, the loss of a spouse or a child, the ending of an important relationship, a sudden pink slip, a deep betrayal, a loved one's diagnosis of, you name it, cancer, Alzheimer's, ALS. Eventually, we make it through unless we are the ones whose lives are threatened with a terminal illness or injury. But for a time, life seems impossible. The joy is gone. The relationship is gone. The loved one is gone. The way of life is gone. The sense of purpose is gone. Sometimes, all at once. And after over 30 years of serving as a pastor in local churches, I just know that though I cannot see you or know anything about those of you who are listening today, I just know that many of you have gone through that kind of anguish. I also know that there are many sorrows and burdens that I will never know, even from folks in my own congregation, born in silence, hidden in hearts, some of which I sense and pray about. But it doesn't even have to be that kind of dramatic trauma that leads to such a deep yearning for peace and wholeness. I have such a blessed life. Until my mother died this past year, she and my father enjoyed over 60 years of married life, raised 4 children, 3 of whom are ordained ministers. I have a wonderful wife, in my unbiased opinion, and 2 children who are healthy and happy. I also pastor a church that I know I don't deserve. I have friends and colleagues that care for me. But even with a life like that, there are times, aren't there, when just getting through the day is difficult. We are so bombarded with images of violence that we feel beaten up just by living in a world which is so full of death and destruction, so denying of what we believe to be important. Certainly the 2 wars that we have been fighting for nearly a decade have had that effect on me. At our church, we host and feed well over 125 homeless or working poor folks every Thursday night. And through that, I have met veterans of those wars who are already on the streets, reminding me of the costs of war that no one seems to count. Though the midterm political elections are now over for another 2 years, who can help but be tired and discouraged by the partisan bantering and fighting among those we have elected to serve us? So in the long, dark nights of Advent, the prophet's articulation of the ultimate purposes of God seems so poignant and the longing for their manifestation so deep that these images touch our souls. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the one who is to come, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. These words from Isaiah were not spoken in a moment of reverie when the beauty of the mountain brooks and the serenity of the quiet pasture lands made the prophet aware of where it was all leading. He was not watching a dazzling sunset. He was watching the dazzling swords of the great and overpowering Assyrian army as they sliced their way through his native land of Palestine, leaving nothing but a trail of blood and agony. He was living through what has been called the first Holocaust of the Jews. It occurred between 740 and 700 BCE. 5 times during these 40 years did the Assyrian army, the vast and superior Assyrian army, stampede through the hill country of Israel, working terror and destruction wherever it went. With no regard for anyone's culture, with no regard for anyone's religion, with no regard for anyone else's life, they came like a scorpion plague, devouring everything and everyone in their path. Over and over and over, the people of Isaiah's Judah had been ravaged. The horrid sounds of war were ever familiar. The cries of pain seldom ceased. Who could plant a field and have any hope that it would survive to the harvest? Who could bear a child with the confidence that it would reach maturity? It was a horrible 40 years, those years in which Isaiah lived. But the prophet spoke. Even though the world has become a living nightmare, he was saying, even though there is no sign anywhere that peace will ever come, even though human greed and destructiveness are running rampant across our world, hear this. the promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. Let me say that again. The promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. These images don't make me weep because I don't believe in them. If I didn't believe in them, I could dismiss them as I have learned to dismiss the cheap promises of hucksters on infomercials, or those selling all-you-can-eat diets, or those prosperity preachers who say the rewards of faithfulness are cascades of dollar bills flowing down. No, I don't weep because I don't believe in them, but because I do. The same vantage point I have as a pastor amidst tragedies and losses is also a vantage point on the new life which so often comes after. Every now and then, I see a little shoot of life bursting forth from a dead stump. What seemed like the end of everything worth living for is being transformed before my eyes, in little tiny ways, to be sure, even to the person it is happening to. But then, he or she does notice, and though still hurting, begins to take a step towards healing. A man who thought he could never risk loving again finds himself able to overcome his fear and open himself up in a new relationship. A woman who has always equated security with a spouse discovers after a broken heart that she can make a home by herself and enjoy it. A man who cares for his invalid wife for a number of emotionally difficult years finds after her death that he has energy for the pursuits and interests he had almost given up. A woman who thought she could never enter a church again after her pastor told her to stay in an abusive relationship because that is her cross to bear, not only enters a church, but comes alive in its worship and mission. A couple that tried and tried and tried to have a baby with no luck, and then tried and tried and tried to adopt with no luck. And then there's a baby in Peru. And then several years later, another baby from Nepal. I know this firsthand, my listening friends, for my son, born in Peru, is now in his second year of college. My daughter, born in Nepal, is now a senior in high school. You get the picture. I could go on and on. Lives being lived out through these Advent days of darkness and of unexpected light. These days of endings and of unexpected beginnings. These days of death and unexpected life. And the signs of all of these are not much. A shoot out of a stump. A branch out of the roots. A step forward. A smile. Not much, but they are enough for me. For every now and then, peace breaks out in a place where I never would have believed it possible. Every once in a while, the deepest, oldest wound you can imagine actually heals. Every now and then, a hatchet gets buried so thoroughly that it is never dug up again. And I have no way of accounting for any of it, except to say that it must come from above. Isaiah's vision, the light, the peace, the healing, the calm. What is it that makes us weep when we hear Isaiah's incredible images for God's purposeful future? We try to hold ourselves together with string and baling wire, keeping a stiff upper lip and carrying on. We dare not show any vulnerability. But Isaiah's words cut through all our false bravado and reveal us for what we are at our core, God's embattled children who long to be gathered up and loved and told that we are safe and that despite the pain and the loss and the anguish of this world, there is something better coming for us, something better coming from us if we will only keep dreaming. And best of all, someone better is coming to us if we will only live toward a reality that so far is only promised, but which in the power and mystery of God is sure. A shoot from a dead stump, a smile from a long frozen face, a step into a church after years of hurt, a little baby crying in a manger. It's not much, is it? But it's enough for me, and I hope and pray it will be enough for you. Let us pray. Lord, you know all too well that to be human, to be able to feel joy and delight, is also to be able to feel pain and sadness. So come to us all this Advent, O God, bringing glad tidings and good cheer, comfort and hope. For we celebrate that marvelous mystery we call incarnation, when you became one of us, born a baby, who grew up and lived and breathed, seated and cried, ate and drank, lived and died. Through him, bring us hope, bring us joy, bring us healing and wholeness. Bring us a sure refuge in the darkness as we await for something new to be born in us. Something small and bright, a tiny flame that will carry us into the future. In the name of that light which sure came to save us, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Our speaker today was the Reverend Dr. Stephen R. Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Idlewild Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. For a free transcript of his sermon for the second Sunday of Advent, entitled Not Much, But Enough for Me, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1 or write Day 1, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. To listen again to today's program or watch video interviews with our preachers, visit us online at dayone.org. And keep in mind that Day One depends on financial donations from listeners like you. We appreciate your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're pleased to present the Reverend Dan Matthews, Jr., Rector of St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. His sermon for the third Sunday in Advent is entitled, What's the Plan? Be sure to tune in. Now, Steve Montgomery offers some final reflections on his message today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Steve, you said that the longer you live, the more deeply this particular promise of God in Isaiah chapter 11 touches you, partly because you see how so many folks long for this vision of peace. So your hope, rather than fading over time, is only growing. What would you say to someone listening whose hope has dimmed over time?
You know, to be human is to struggle and is to have despair at some points in our life. What I would say is I would encourage someone to open their eyes anew to the little signs, sometimes things that we take for granted, the little signs that might be signals that indeed God is working towards a more peaceful and a more hopeful world. If I might use one example, when my children were young, one night I was coming home late at night, and I was somewhat hassled, and I got them out of their little infant seats in the car, and my then 3-year-old son said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, come quick, come quick, listen." I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "Listen." He said, "Crickets, crickets." And all of a sudden, I saw all of creation through the eyes of a child, and we took a walk. He said, "Daddy, moon, big moon." Sometimes signs like that are right before us, and we don't even notice it. So I would hope that we could have new eyes to those little, almost invisible signs that God indeed is working within us.
We may be dealing with major anguish because of illness or financial loss or whatever, or we may have relatively blessed lives where things are going pretty well. But even so, there are times, you said, when just getting through the day is difficult because of the world we live in. How can this vision of Isaiah's help us no matter what we're dealing with in life?
I think that his vision is universal for all of us, Peter. Without such a vision, the prophet says, the people perish. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is to keep our vision alive and open to what is good in the world, to what is hopeful in the world, so that that hope might claim us, and then in turn we might claim that hope and go forth as a people who are a joyful people working for that vision of peace.
You reminded us of the horrific circumstances of Isaiah's day as the Assyrians were overwhelming the land of Palestine, days of great pain, violence, and war. Yet Isaiah spoke with strength and clarity about peace and hope, proclaiming that the promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. How should we be following in Isaiah's footsteps today? How can we share this vision with our world?
I think the first way we do it is by acknowledging the pain, the suffering, the violence around us. We don't pretend that they aren't there. But somehow, and it's a mystery, somehow in the midst of all that, Isaiah was able to see a vision that the rest of the world did not see. So I would encourage us to open our eyes to those whom we might think of as dreamy idealists. Take a look in your communities, in your churches, and in the world, to those who think there might be a better way, and then work with them in establishing that world.
Steve Montgomery, thank you for being with us these first two Sundays of Advent.
Thanks so much, Peter. I hope you and all those listening have a blessed Advent.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.
Throughout this 65th anniversary year, we've asked those of you who enjoy Day One to help celebrate this milestone by contributing $1 for each of our 65 years of weekly broadcasts. Many of you have responded, and on behalf of everyone who makes Day One possible, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. If you haven't given to Day One yet this year, we ask you to consider your gift of $65 or any amount before this year's end. Your gift is tax deductible and will help sustain our network of stations, our growing web audience, and our frequent programs to our troops on the American Forces Network. Celebrate our 65th anniversary with us by sending your gift today to Day One at 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308, or by giving securely online at dayone.org. Join in the celebration today and keep the voice of the Mainline Church alive and well on national radio. Thank you, and God bless you.